Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Our friend Dave Wanstead.
Dave, as Boy Wonder, you gave me a lot to look up there, but I have this one for you to illustrate that point. That 1972 team, right, the Super Bowl team, over their three playoff games, 264 passing yards total across all three games. But then in 1984, he's got a quarterback in Dan Marino who was the first quarterback to throw for 5,000 yards. So he coached record-setting running yep. game, and then he coached record-setting passing game. It's fairly remarkable that he was able to make that transformation, like you said. I was going back over your guys' tie-ins, and I didn't realize that you were hired by Don Shula, but you only coached for him for 6 weeks before you ended up going with Jimmy Johnson. Like, what? Can you tell that
story? You know what, Dan? I'm going to say this. Mac, your boy there is good, okay?
Oh. You got a gift, my friend. You are very good.
There's
you.
A lot more to it than that.
You're very good, you.
I'll tell you what, though. Danny did good today. Boy, you come up with some good stuff. Wow.
That's my little buddy.
He's good, and I mean above average.
Why should today be different than any other day, Dave? Come on now.
You're right. Well, I did give you a couple of layups today, though. Come on, be honest with me. I gave you a couple of layups. You're way out in front of the majority, for sure. You're in that 1%, that top echelon.
Wow. Thank you, Dave.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get paid. All that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold.
Well, kid, you threw one by me. Savor the flavor, because it sure as hell won't happen again.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Ah, yesterday's show must have really sucked if that's what Chris Tannehill went to the Open. Because you know that dude don't want to praise me in an Open that he does.
Right, you're right.
Yeah. God. That was a C-minus effort. Yesterday, at best, barely passable. I apologize if that's the best that we could do, because I much prefer 2 days ago being called Little Buddy and Gilligan's Island and basically anything to make fun of me.
I want you to meet my little buddy, Danny Parkins.
That's right. That's really the sweet spot for this show, is when Shep is napalming my takes by subtweeting me by my own show's account on Twitter. Tanny is lampooning me in production for the Open, and Mac is rolling his eyes when he can't even imagine how he got to this place in his career. Like, that's the sweet spot for this mob, I feel like. Wouldn't you not agree with that, Tanny?
I mean, I've always said that's when we're at our best, is when everyone's crapping all over you.
Yeah, unified. Right? We're just unified. Like today at 4 o'clock with Hub Arkish, we will have good, intelligent, straightforward football conversation. And then I will throw a theory at him, he will dismiss it summarily, and we'll keep it moving. That's where we like to live.
You can set your watch to it, really, when Hub shoots down one of your crackpot theories. I mean, you set your watch to it. You know, my body clock is used to it. I know it's Tuesday at 4 o'clock when Hub is crapping all over you, so I like it. It's hard to tell what season it is right now these days, so knowing Hub will be there at 4 to refute your dumbass opinion, I take great comfort in that.
Me as well. And then, like, Shep is just waiting to pile on a sports thought or a movie thought or something that I have. Shep, that's, like, that's your bread and butter, where we just, like, unleash the Elias Shep Bureau, and he comes in off the top rope, and he's just like, it sucks, it's stupid, and it's not funny. So are you ready for that role today, Shep, as I'm flying solo?
Oh, I am. In honor of the Macho Man, Randy Savage, I'm standing on the top of the ropes ready to give the flying elbow drop right to your throat.
Danny, that's a wrestler. He's a professional wrestler. Randy Savage.
Thank you. Thank you. If he wasn't in the Ninja Turtles or on the 90s Bulls, I might have missed it. Today, yes, Mac is off today. It was just too long of a commute. It was too much windshield time to go to his studio in his house. So we are flying as a three-man mob. And we got a busy show, though, for you. We're very excited about that, or we're relatively excited. My guy Eric Kratz is coming on at 2:25. He is the perfect Score Stories guest. Many of you have texted about it. He's played for, like, 25 different professional baseball teams at all the different levels of the minor leagues. You go through this guy's Wikipedia page, it's ridiculous.
Let's see here.
Pittsburgh Pirates, Philadelphia Phillies, Toronto Blue Jays, Kansas City Royals, Phillies, Astros, Pirates, Yankees, Brewers, Giants, Rays, and Yankees. He is, Mac called him present-day Crash Davis. He's 39 years old and still banging it out on the North End, taking money from the Yankees. Maybe he'll be a minor leaguer. Maybe he'll be a major leaguer. Who the hell knows? But he has not retired from baseball, and the dude is just entertaining and a great storyteller. So he's going to join us to tell us what's going on with baseball in about a little less than 20 minutes. Like I said, Hub at 4. It's long past due to bring on Dr. Citrenberg, our infectious disease expert, at 4:30. I just don't know what's happening. Like, you read these stories that 50% of antibody tests are producing false positives. You see states opening up, some having problems, some not. You read an article in the Tribune today about a mutated coronavirus that's like a new one that's more dangerous. There's a lot of things going on if you are still able to keep up with the news cycle of this hellscape that we're living in right now. So we'll talk to a doctor about that at 4:30. And then our guy, Matt Spiegel, we're going to see if he can talk us into Korean baseball. Did either of you stay up overnight to watch any of it? I miss sports a great deal, but I don't miss sports enough to, at 2:30 in the morning, be watching Korean baseball. Tanny?
I myself did not, even though I do love our game and all aspects of it. I can't do it with the sleep schedule there. Also, when I saw Eli tweeting about it and some of the lines for Korean baseball, it immediately turned me off watching it. So, so whenever Eli's in on it, I'm out. So, Shep, what about you?
Go ahead, Shep.
Oh, I was going to say, Tanny used to be a huge college basketball guy, and then Eli came around, and Eli's betting thoughts are what turned Tanny off of March Madness. I did stay up. It wasn't intentional. Just could not fall asleep last night, so threw it on. And the part that you might like more, Danny, is not so much the baseball part of it or not so much the Korean baseball part of it, but your guy Jeff Passan being a little smartass for to get you through your overnight, or at least part of your overnight. I think that's something that you'd sign up for if little Owen wakes you up here in the next couple of nights with one of these games on.
Yeah, you know, at this point when he wakes me up, I'm just trying to get him back to sleep as soon as possible, that I don't even want a screen to be coming into play. But if it gets worse and worse, and there aren't sports for a long time and this is all we get, maybe I'll get there. But that's kind of what I want to talk to Spiegel about. It's like, it's his game, it's our game, but is it his game enough to stay up late and watch Korean baseball? It's not there for me. It doesn't sound like it's there for either of you. We'll see, at least long term. We'll see if it is for Matt Spiegel at 5 o'clock. But I was proud that we didn't spend a lot of time talking about Mitch Trubisky's fifth year option getting declined yesterday, because it's not a story. It was a story when the season ended, but then you could read between the lines fairly obviously when Ryan Pace didn't commit to it, and you saw his production on the field last year, and then they traded a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles and restructured his contract, where they've got the contractual rights to Foles potentially for three seasons, and Mitch now only for this one. It was the most foregone of all foregone conclusions that they were going to decline the option. And I understand that not everybody looks at sports through the same prism that I do. And I really enjoy the, you know, the franchise mode in the video games, the fantasy football aspect, like playing the game as watching the game as a general manager. And in a salary cap sport like football, it can tell you so much with there's a minimum that you got to spend. There are deadlines to a league calendar of when things need to happen, and it makes it relatively straightforward where you can figure out what these teams are going to do before they do them and when they're going to do them by. So yesterday was the deadline. They did not extend the fifth-year option over the weekend. So now Mitch Trubisky, at the end of this year, the Bears can either just say, bye, see you later. They will have the rights to match an offer in restricted free agency if a team makes him an offer and they want to retain him, just like what happened with Kyle Fuller, or they could put the franchise tag on him, or, of course, they could choose to negotiate with Mitch Trubisky. Like, say Mitch Trubisky was balling out through eight games and they wanted to enter into contract negotiations with him. I assume Mitch would not do that because he'd be balling out and he'd want to see what free agency could bring him. But those are the scenarios. Like, those are your options. And I've been reading all of the good coverage from The Athletic and The Tribune and listening on the station about, okay, so now what? And you guys know that since January, I've been saying Mitch is done, actions over words, then they acquired Foles. I expect Nick Foles to be the week one starter because I think that's what Matt Nagy wants. But what should you be rooting for? What is best case scenario for the Bears at quarterback? Clearly it's get great quarterback play, but if you could pick great quarterback play from Nick Foles or great quarterback play from Mitch Trubisky, given what they did this offseason, trading a fourth for Foles, declining the fifth-year option on Mitch, what should you be rooting for? I still believe the answer is rooting for Mitch Trubisky to be great. It's not going to happen. We're talking about a 25-1, 30-1 sort of long shot here.
Like an MVP bet long shot, you'd say.
Yeah, oh, thank you. Exactly. That 200-1. Tremendous value on the board.
Anything can happen. Something could happen. Not anything will happen.
That's right. I'd make that bet all over again, by the way. I'm happy to lose that bet. It's not going to happen, but he's younger than Nick Foles. It would give you more faith in your general manager that he got it right, even if it happened and took longer than it should have in terms of evaluating the quarterback position. And Brad Biggs reported in Nick Foles' contract in terms of the incentives that if he hits, you know, a certain threshold, money comes in, and his deal is cheap. It's like $8 million bucks against the cap. He gets the $21 million guaranteed, but it's restructured over a three-year period of time. So Nick Foles is nothing against the Bears' cap. But if he hits certain thresholds, like plays half of the games, Pro Bowls, things like that, and the Bears reach the NFC Championship game, his contract voids, and he's a free agent. Now, obviously, you'd love to have that problem, right? It'd be a very high-class problem. Bears go to the NFC Championship game behind Nick Foles. You'd want to pay him, and he'd want to be here, and you would just enter into a long-term contract with Nick Foles. Sounds like one of them good problems, to quote the great Marlo Stanfield. But the issue is, no matter what happens, if you get great quarterback play and the Bears go far from Nick Foles, that's going to cost you a bunch of money. If the Bears get great quarterback play from Mitch Trubisky and the Bears go far, that's going to cost you a bunch of money. So would you rather give a bunch of money to Mitch Trubisky, who you drafted and is younger and has more equity within the system? Or would you rather give it to Nick Foles, who the fans haven't invested in, the general manager's not nearly as invested in, is older, has bounced around from a couple of teams, and has shown flashes in the pan before, and then greatly regressed. I'd still be rooting for Mitch Trubisky, but it's like rooting for a lottery ticket. It ain't going to happen. What I think is the most likely outcome here is Nick Foles is average, he's your quarterback, and they go as far as their health, their luck, and their defense carries them. That's what's going to happen. Is that exciting? No. Nick Foles is a bridge quarterback. He's a bridge quarterback for the next year or two or three until you get yourself into a position where you love a first-round quarterback who falls to you, or you're bad enough where you can draft one in the top 10 that you really like. That's where they are at quarterback. But if Mitch is great and Foles is already under contract, you're going to be spending a ton of money on the quarterback position, but that's going to happen either way. So to me, when people say, what are you rooting for? You should still root for Mitch. But it's like a head v. heart argument, cognitive, like rational v. emotional. The emotional investment is root for Mitch Trubisky. Because if you think it's a fluke, franchise tag him. Make him prove it again. Go down that Kirk Cousins pathway with him. If you think it's real, sign him to a contract extension. If you don't, let someone else overpay him and walk. But you can continue to evaluate him and you can continue to control it. With Foles, he ain't the answer long-term either. But at least he's under contract for a few years and you could say, all right, this guy's not that expensive, and barring a run to the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, we control him at a really cheap rate. So, and I understand texters are like, hey, I'm just rooting for a good team and a playoff run. I don't care which quarterback does it. Let's get a Super Bowl. Obviously. Obviously. But I'm talking about in a scenario of what is best case for the Bears that isn't they win the Super Bowl. You want to have an answer at quarterback. And it's better if that answer is the young QB who you drafted as opposed to the older QB that you traded for who has been up and down his entire career. I think that's pretty logical, even if it's pretty unlikely. Nick Foles is going to put Bears fans in a really tough spot because he's the best quarterback Allen Robinson has ever had. Better than at Penn State, better than Blake Bortles in Jacksonville, better than Mitch Trubisky in Chicago, and he still isn't that good. And we've been doing this as Bears fans for forever, right? Like, Jay Cutler was the savior and was the most talented quarterback in the history of the franchise and holds some franchise records, but none of those records are very impressive. Mitch Trubisky was, 2 years ago, put together one of the three best seasons in Bears quarterbacking history, three or four best seasons ever statistically, and it was 24 touchdowns against 12 interceptions, but it had a passer rating of 95. It's like, ah, okay, Pro Bowl alternate. Like, that's what's going to happen right now with Bears fans and Nick Foles, is he'll be just good enough where you'll talk yourself into being like, you know, eh, this is really good. When it's not really good, it's average or slightly below average, but just because of how bad it's been here, it's going to feel like it's a really good thing. We're going to talk to Eric Kratz for some stories coming up in a little bit, but Jeff in Bolingbrook wants to weigh in. Hey, you wanted calls. Solo shows, baby. It's the way to do it. 312-644-6767. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Danny. Real quick, thank you for everything you do. I see everything you're doing on on Twitter. You're a good man, Parkins. Please, I hope you stay in Chicago forever. But
thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Nope.
You asked what the best case scenario, what needs to happen for the Bears. One of two things. If he ends up starting in week one, we need to either see him. He needs to either suck miserably or he needs to be great. We cannot have a Kirk Cousins situation in Chicago, like you brought up the franchise tag. I do not want that. I don't want what's going on in Dallas with Dak. we do not need. He needs to either know, okay, this is going to be our guy or this is not going to be a guy. That, more than anything, needs to be what we figure out this year.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I know what you're saying, right? Like, the Cowboys are – they know that Dak Prescott is good, but they're faced with having to pay him like he's elite, and that's a problem, right? That's what you're talking about. Kirk Cousins, we know he's good, but he got paid like he's an elite, and that's the problem. Here's the thing. The Bears don't have a single quarterback who you know is good. So that is a higher class problem. Yeah, you'd rather be the Chiefs and have Pat Mahomes. You'd rather be the Texans with Watson. You'd rather be the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, where, like, you know you've got a great quarterback and you're happy to pay him as a great quarterback. But that's not happening. Like, I would trade the Bears quarterback problems for the Cowboys or the Vikings in a second.
I would too, technically. Yes, I would. But maybe this could turn out to be the Dak situation. They're in early stages of it, but the Kirk Cousins thing, they dragged on for years, and you always kind of felt like you were never going to win with him, yet you were kind of like, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, and that's what they need to avoid getting in with Mitch right now, I guess would be my main point. He needs to either be... They need to say, okay, this is going to be a career backup, or this is going to be a guy that can keep us relevant for the next decade.
Jeff,
it's got to be one of those two answers.
Yeah, I that clarity is key, right? That's why a lot of us wanted them. Like, you got to play him, you got to see what you have. You need clarity as soon as possible, and he gave
and
it
then
to
that,
us.
Yeah, and then,
like, you know, I appreciate the call. I got to run and get to Eric Kratz, but the reality is, no matter what happens this year, barring the Bears winning an NFC or winning a Super Bowl, something absolutely crazy like that, there will be still that feeling in the back of your mind of, it might have been a fluke. It was just 1 year. So the Bears are not going to have clarity at the end of this thing. You're just figuring out, in a best-case scenario, what am I rooting for as a fan beyond team success? What makes Ryan Pace's job the easiest? It is still the pie-in-the-sky fantasy scenario where it clicks for Mitch Trubisky, and he's the guy who gives the Bears success this year. Likely? No. But what are you rooting for? Mitch Trubisky. I think he's the perfect Score Stories guest. He's seen everything in professional and minor league baseball. What the hell is he doing now at 39 years old with an uncertain future for his sport? We don't even know if there was going to be baseball this year, if Kratz would be a minor leaguer or a major leaguer. He's going to tell us all about it. Eric Kratz, the journeyman, next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Who's driving
Driving down the streets of
New York City.
Waving to everybody he sees. Who's yearning for another World Series? Everyone knows he's Kratzy.
Oh, God. I forgot about that song, and then it just comes back, and now I won't forget it again for another year or two. This segment brought to you by Home Roofing. Mac off today. I'm flying solo. We've been doing these segments called Score Stories, where we just bring on people we like to tell stories because, you know, there are no games. And many of you would text in and say, when are you bringing on Eric Kratz? Dude's an awesome storyteller. And you know what? You're right. So he's a member of the New York Yankees. He's 39 years old. He's been in the big leagues and the minor leagues seemingly forever. And he's with us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Kratzy, how's it going, my friend?
Friggin' awesome, man. How are you, dude?
Oh, dude, I'm all right. Doing 4 hours a day of sports talk radio with no sports, you know, living the dream.
Yeah, you're just, they hired you, and they were digging the bottom of the barrel, and now you have to dig the bottom of the barrel by when you're already at the bottom of the barrel.
Which is why I called you.
Exactly. We're deep in here now.
Yes, we are. So, you're not retired, right? Like, you're, if baseball comes back, you're coming back with it?
Yep.
And so, what does that look like for you at this point? Like, what is your routine these days?
You know what? It's actually been very, very familiar, other than my kids never go to school.
Sure.
When we moved to a new house in July, and instead of joining a gym near my house, I built a gym in my basement and a cage above my garage. So we don't have to go to a gym, you know, which I did all off season. I didn't go to a gym, got ready for spring training, and was able to be ready. And then, you know, this happened, and a lot of my buddies go home and they're calling their gym hoping for a extension of hours that aren't available in the gym. And they're coming up with goose eggs. So I was fortunate. I just continued my off season workout at the same place where I did it. And it's been crazy. I've been crazy fortunate that I set that up this offseason.
So how are they being the Yankees, or they being Major League Baseball, the Players Union, how are they communicating the contingency plans to you guys, or are you finding it out the same way that we are by reading Jeff Passan on Twitter?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're just kind of dropping nuggets out there to see what sticks on the 670 the score, maybe 690 the score. I'm not sure which one they're dropping it on to figure out what the fans are liking about this scenario or that scenario. And because none of this stuff we ever hear of, so they don't communicate that to us. The communication we get is the real stuff, you know, the stuff that they've discussed. And as far as from a team wise, you know, we get pretty constant communication. I mean, we get at least one text a week, you know, just asking if we're good, if everything's healthy, how our workouts are going, if we're able to do baseball stuff, all that stuff. So they check in pretty regularly.
What do you feel like you can tell 670 the score, our audience here? What do you feel like you can tell us, like, I know that blank is going to happen with baseball this year? Do you feel like you know anything?
I know that the team who scores the most runs in the game that is played will win.
Breaking news, there will be games played.
Yes. I can't tell you anything definitively, except that if an ex-player tweets something out that they have the inside scoop on when the season's going to start, it's not true. So anything you read from an ex-player that's not involved with the union or an owner of a team, I'm going to say is probably fake news. So
Trevor Plouffe is not going to have the scoop on when baseball comes back? Is that what you're willing to report right here and now?
I don't know what you're talking about, but if that would happen in real life, I would say that's probably not. That's probably, but you know what? He's probably, if I were to guess, that's where I'd guess, you know, and be hopeful.
Yeah, I think that like people want optimism, and
for sure,
right? Like there's no, and what I've been saying is like, what are the baseball people supposed to do? Like just order Chipotle and go home? Like they're going to come up with plans. Like, okay, quarantine league in Arizona. Let's take over the Walt Disney complex. Let's only play in warm weather cities or domes. Like they should come up with a whole bunch of ideas, but you know, no one knows what tomorrow's going to bring with this disease. So how the hell are we going to plan a baseball season?
Absolutely. And I think we're at the point, you know, I think when it first, the quarantine first happened, you know, you were getting a lot of the stock answers of, well, there's a lot more important things to think about, you know, than baseball or football or soccer. And now it's still the case. You're right. still looking at things that are way more important than sports, but part of people's mental health and part of people's sanity and part of your mental health is your physical health is getting outside or meeting up with people and enjoying a baseball game or enjoying prepping for fantasy football over at poker night at somebody's house. You know, all that stuff is a thing. And the sooner we can get back to that stuff and the sooner we're able to safely have a baseball season, have a football season, you know, anything, the better off we are.
We're talking to Eric Kratz here on The Score, former Brewer, former, you know, a third of the league, MLB journeyman currently in the Yankees organization. So wanted to bring you on to tell some stories, and if you got nothing on some of this stuff, feel free. We'll go on to the next thing. I was looking through your baseball reference and like years that you were on with teams. You were teammates with Jim Thome in Philadelphia. Jim Thome is beloved in these parts. What was it like to be Jim Tomey's teammates, and do you have any favorite interactions with him?
And do you mean by these parts as like you mean like Earth, like the entire Earth loves Jim Thome?
Pretty much. Chicago. Well, Chicago, Peoria, but I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf called him a Hall of Fame human. So, you know, I don't know that he's disliked anywhere.
I haven't met. That would be, you know, that might be a nice spot for one of your shows. Find somebody that Jim Thome is not adored by. He is. I mean, you hear all this stuff about how this guy is just an incredible human, and then you meet him, and you're like, man, they were kind of selling him short. He's just such a genuine person that you don't meet people like that. So my favorite Jim Thome story is obviously a Dig Me story about myself.
Of course.
But it was spring training. Let's see, we played together 2012. And, you know, this guy is just, he's just a mountain of a man. And I know it's hard to believe, but he was actually older than me. But, you know, he's at the end of his career. He's got 600 and a lot of homers. And I don't even think he's playing in the game. So, you know, somebody with 22 years in the big leagues, spring training is show up for a couple bagels, you know, a ground ball or two, three rounds of BP, and then we'll see you in 3 weeks when I get to play in a game. Well, Jim Thome is out there during garbage time in the dugout just watching the game. Not Florida. It's a nice place to watch a game. Old number 75 rolls up to the plate. No, I think that year I was probably 31. Because I'd already been in the big leagues with the Phillies. So 31 rolls up to the plate and hits a 2-0 cutter over the fence in left field. Solo homer against the Yankees in spring training, who we play 7 times. Easily a situation where he could have checked out and most likely should have been checked out. Nobody would have thought anything less. The first person, when I come into the dugout, the top step to give me a high five. Right in front of Charlie Manuel. So before Charlie Manuel gives me a high five is Jim Thome. And his look on his face was like, he hit the home run. I'm like, this dude hit 611 career home runs at this point. And he's juiced about my 2-0 cutter away in the sixth inning that I hit in Clearwater. He was so like truly happy for me. It was an awesome, it was something I'll never forget.
That's very cool. Who was the best, like, of all of the star teammates that you've had, you know, best player on the team when you were there, who was the coolest, most normal dude to interact with?
The most normal dude. I mean, he, like, Tommy's up there. I mean, you're talking about a Hall of Famer who's, you know, who is so down to earth and a genuine person, but we didn't play a ton together. I would have to say it was either Andrew McCutchen or Christian Yelich. Two MVPs, two guys that were and are still just like, they're a superstar that doesn't forget the names, of everybody on the team. Because there's some superstars who call everybody buddy or hey guy or, you know, hey papi, what's up? And they don't know half the guys on the team's names. But those two, I'm probably forgetting somebody, but those two for sure. And I spent a lot of time with those guys, so I can't say it about everyone else that I didn't play a ton with.
We're talking to Eric Kratz here on The Score. When you were with the Royals and we met, there were some good battles with the White Sox, but I don't remember if you were up for all of those with the fights and the beanballs and all of the back and forth. So you were there. How real was the hatred between those 14, 15 Royals teams and those White Sox teams?
You know what's funny about that is it wouldn't have been just the White Sox. Like when I got there in 14, it was the Tigers and us. Because, you know, we had to knock the Tigers off the top. They were always winning the division. I remember coming there and they were like, ah, man, we just never beat the Tigers. We come into Comerica and we'd never beat the Tigers. But the White Sox always seemed like, well, we should be beating them. But every game was a close game. Every game was 7-6, 2-1, 3-2. And so I think those close games really, really fueled that fire. And then, you know, once Samardzija decided to flip his lid and Ventura did his thing and, you know, it got heated quick, that's for sure.
And the clubhouse interactions when one guy was going into the other team's clubhouse, were you there to break up any of those fights?
I wasn't. You know, my role on the Royals was to be the bullpen catcher. So I caught up because Salvy
never took any time off.
Right. On the days that he took off, Ned was able to get him in there by the third inning because he felt like the game was getting out of hand in the third, so he needed Salvy to get back in there. But yeah, no, it was I was not. I only heard that secondhand. So,
all right. So you played with Edwin Encarnacion. Yep. What can you tell White Sox fans about his parrot?
It comes out a lot. While every baseball pundit will be like, well, I don't know. Edwin Encarnacion, he's just not. And then at the end of the year, he'll have 38 home runs. Well, not this year, but he'll have.
that'd be impressive.
Yeah, that would be impressive. But him having the opportunity to play in the Central, too, will be huge. In the White Sox Stadium, which is a good place to hit. And he doesn't have to deal with the Chicago April cold. I think that's going to be one of the huge, huge underrated signings that the White Sox made, because there's a lot of – when you build a team, there's a lot of, hey, you know what, you're getting a really good player in Edwin Encarnacion. But you're also getting a really, really good leader of a lot of the Latino players that are in the clubhouse. And he's going to show them how to be professional, but also how to bring it every day. Like this dude is just, he's out there every day. He's ready to go. He's not coming to the park saying, you know what, I don't know if I can play today, which sounds like, well, why wouldn't everybody be like that? But not every guy is like that. You know, I think he'll be underrated in that signing, but at the end of the year, he's going to be a huge, huge pickup, like Kendrys Morales was for the 15 Royals. A very, very huge pickup. Not a boisterous guy, but just comes to the park every day, ready to compete and do whatever he can, not just himself, but to help his teammates too.
That's a role on like every clubhouse these days, isn't it? Like the guy or the one or two or three guys who can bridge the cultural divide between the English-speaking players and the Latino players and Spanish-speaking guys. Like that's, I know that Salvi and Hosmer did it on those Royals teams when you were there, but it feels like that guy or guys needs to be in every clubhouse.
Needs to be. It needs to be. Now, you can't have that guy in a clubhouse of crappy players, but you need that. If you're a winning team, you need, it's not just the one guy. It's the guy that, you know, it's the guy that connects maybe a group of position players together, a group of pitchers together, a guy that connects the pitchers and the position players. And it becomes a cyclical process where at different times in the season, those guys step up. And, you know, their WAR is probably right around a zero. Not Eddie's, not Edwin's. You know, he's going to bring that to it, but he's also going to bring, you know, all-star caliber play too. So that's not necessarily where he's at, but that's, you know, there's guys, you have to have those kind of guys. And every legit playoff contending team has that. And if they don't, I've been on playoff teams where there's been trades where people on the outside will look at it and be like, man, why does he pick that guy up? And it's mostly who they got rid of and not who they picked up. You know, if somebody's not jiving with if somebody's not on beat with the dance, you know, you got to get rid of them. And sometimes it's addition by subtraction.
I assume you're not ready to give a name in that scenario yet?
No. I'll save all those juicy ones for when I quit playing.
I can't wait for that interview, by the way, when you finally quit playing. By the way, like I know you were big involved in Team USA Baseball, and we'll let you go, but now that the Olympics have been pushed back a year, like, are you still trying to Tokyo 2021, 41-year-old Eric Kratz? Like, is that a goal for you now?
I would love it. I would love it. And I think sometimes goals are lofty and you don't always have to make your goals attainable. But there's some outside forces working on me making it or not making it. My wife has a big say in if I'm going to have an opportunity to get there. My daughter has a big say if I have an opportunity to get there or not. I would love to, and they would love to see that. But right now they were planning on this Olympics and this season, you know, maybe being a wrap up time. But with the Olympics and this season kind of being wacky, we'll see. We shall see. I would, if it's a goal of mine and I have something to say about it, I'll be there. But I've, like you said earlier, maybe countless times in this interview, it's been a long career. So to squeeze another year out of it, I would love to do it. To be an Olympian, that would be unbelievable. But we'll see what happens.
Hey, man, it's been a hell of a career. It's been cool to get to know you just a little bit and to follow it. And it's awesome that you're not hanging it up yet. You shouldn't. And hopefully we get a season and you come to Chicago and we can do it again. I appreciate you, man. Be well.
That would be awesome. I appreciate you having me on.
That's Eric Kratz of the Yankees. He's lived a hell of a life, many, many lifetimes in the game of baseball, and he just loves it. And he's not giving it up if they're still willing to give him a contract. It's a really, really cool outlook. I know we are running late, but that's okay. During these unprecedented times, who needs a clock other than Tanny? It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes you hear that music, you know the day, you just want to sing Cinco de Mayo. You know.
There's a song of Cinco de Mayo?
Cinco de Mayo. Yeah, you know that one.
Yes, happy Cinco de Mayo to all of those celebrating genuinely. And to all of those disappointed that you can't just go to a Mexican restaurant for a taco special on Taco Tuesday and appropriate a culture and have some margaritas, make your damn tacos at home. How you celebrating Taco Tuesday, Tanny?
By having eggplant parm.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Rick Camp's not bringing over any Modellos?
No, but I'll check the house down the block.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. I saw that. I was like, oh, man, Cinco de Mayo, Taco Tuesday? I'm guessing LeBron James is not going to be tweeting it out now that he lost his trademark for Taco Tuesday. I love a good arrogant athlete story, but that one was pretty classic. You enjoy that Edwin Encarnacion answer?
I did.
As a White Sox fan?
It was a really great question by the host there. Way to get some content for Chicago sports fans, baseball fans. I'm excited. I wanted to hear more stories about the actual parrot and sort of like the genesis of the parrot, how it came about, because he was there in the parrot's origin story there in Toronto. But nonetheless, I'm excited to hear his thoughts on Edwin Encarnacion. I'm excited to see him suit up for the Sox this year, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully. And Yasmani Grandal was on my list. They were a catching tandem in Milwaukee, but, you know. We will have him on. He texted me. He was like, yeah, happy to do it. Always like coming on, but not ready to retire yet. I said he should announce it on the show, but he's like, no, I'll be announcing my quitting on my own terms. Thank you very much. I'm like, I think you know that I'm joking, but you never know. Text translation. But I wasn't. I was shooting my shot, and you never know if text translation. Maybe I just ruined the entire relationship with Eric Kratz. Hub Arkish will be on at 4, Dr. Sitrenberg at 4:30. But coming up next, there's been a lot of discussion of different eras in basketball as we've watched The Last Dance. As it relates to players, team, style of play, there was something really poignant in the documentary that I think illustrates the point very well. We'll get into it coming up on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.